Some of you may have heard me mention it before, but I was reminded of a classic Buddhist teaching this week. The Buddha tells his disciples that understanding his teachings is like picking up a poisonous snake in the wild. It's easy to get bitten. It's easy to misinterpret his teaching to mean the opposite of what he actually intends. Not off by a few degrees, but 180 degrees, and the reverse of what he means. If you pick up a snake in the middle of its body, it can turn and bite. But if you find a forked stick and pick up a snake just behind its jaws, you'll be safe and sound. The Buddha says it's not simply a matter of hearing the teaching or being able to recite it. It's about holding the teaching the right way. This is true of the way we hold the gospel, and indeed, all scripture. Our gospel passage today offered us that famous verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that God gave their only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. This verse has led to many an exercise in setting categories of believers and non-believers, saved and not saved. This is picking up this verse, this passage, in a way that distorts the focus and the meaning. This makes it about categories and contempt and exclusion, and that is not God's way. In the podcast, Strange New World, which I've shared in the last few newsletters, Matthew Meyer Bolton points out that when this verse was translated into English in the mid-17th century, the word so was frequently used to mean in this way. For example, so help me God. It made sense at the time then, for the Greek word houtos, which means in this way, to be translated as so. And that's what the King James Version translators did. The problem is that so has come to mean very, or to a large extent, as in she's so sad. Just as it matters how the Buddha's teachings are picked up and held, it matters how we pick up and hold this verse. This verse isn't a statement about the extent or degree of God's love. It's a statement about the way or pattern of God's love, as in, for God loved the world in this way. What is the way that God loves the world? More from that podcast. Matthew Meyer Bolton talks about the Japanese martial art of judo as an example of the way God loves the world. Judo comes from the words ju, meaning softness or gentle, and do, same as the word dao, meaning way. So judo means gentle way, and it is both a martial art and a philosophy of life. In judo, it's not about meeting the aggression of the opponent with the same level of aggression and force. Judo recognizes that gentleness is more powerful than aggression, and that in the context of a hostile attack, the most effective response is to creatively co-opt the force of the attacker to throw off balance and disarm. The way that God loves the world is like judo, a gentle way that creatively co-opts and redirects energy, a way that transforms and incorporates the problem itself into part of the solution, creating a reversal. Consider the transformation and reversal in the Easter story. The cross, an imperial instrument of torture, is remade into a sign of new life. God's way of loving the world is to creatively co-opt the problem and to make it part of the solution. This offers us a different way to see the passage we heard from Numbers. These verses are troubling if we're not careful how we hold them. We might see an angry God, a God whose way is to punish with poisonous serpents. The serpents are a problem. The Israelites are bitten, and there are fatalities. Look at the solution that is offered, though. What is menace is turned into medicine. With the image of the serpents, God takes the problem and makes it part of the solution. Today's gospel passage is part of a longer conversation with Nicodemus. Again, it matters how we pick it up. Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the night, full of questions. The first part of their conversation is about being born anew, being born of the Spirit, and Nicodemus struggles to understand. Jesus' reference to the lifting of the bronze serpent and the turning of a deadly thing into a blessed instrument of healing is for his audience. Nicodemus would have known this story well. Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus in a way that he could understand. But at the same time, this reference to the lifting up of the serpent is an anticipation of Jesus' crucifixion and an allusion to his resurrection and ascension. There is deep symbolism in these verses, in this imagery. And there is an invitation to see that the way God loves the world is a way that lifts up and turns things around and upside down, a way that gently redirects energy, even the hostile energy of the crucifixion, to bring about transformation and to make things new. Our passage from Ephesians reminds us that salvation is God's work, God's grace. This is not our work. God loves the world, and the way that God loves the world is in and through Jesus. Jesus didn't say God loves the remnant. Jesus didn't say God loves only the few who tick all the boxes. God loves the world, the cosmos. God loves all people and all things in all our ways. God loves us in our rebellion. God loves us in our weakness and in the shadows. Last week, Gary spoke about shadows in his sermon and about what can happen when we're not attentive to shadows in ourselves, in community, in institutions. Richard Rohr says that you can tell a lot about a person by what they do with their pain. Do they transmit it or do they transform it? Do they spread it around or do they revolutionize it? God loves us in the shadows, and God is there, loving us in our pain, inviting us to stop transmitting it, to stop spreading it around, and to transform it, to revolutionize it. Shadows are the same. God invites us to live in a way that attends to shadows, to be willing to let God's light into our own shadowy places, and to shine that light for others as they attend to their own shadows. Teresa of Avila reminds us that Christ has no body, no hands, no feet on earth but ours. This is a reminder to join with God in God's way of love. God is inviting us to love ourselves and the world in a gentle judo way, sidestepping aggression and creatively redirecting hostile energy to use for love. God invites us to love ourselves and our world in a way that is willing to turn pain around and upside down in the name of transformation. God invites us to take the problems of shadows and pain and to be stretched as we turn those things around, transforming and being transformed. As we continue our Lenten journey, I invite you to reflect on this judo way of living and loving. There are shadows in this world. There is hostile energy all around. Be attentive and look for opportunities to sidestep aggression and to creatively co-opt and redirect that energy in the name of love. For God loves the world in this way. May we love the world in this way too. In Jesus' name. Amen.